It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The Moore campaign is preparing for what they call a drain the swamp rally. It's part of a get out the vote effort, trying to rally social conservatives to the polls in an election that's becoming surprisingly competitive, in part because of the allegations against their candidate.
These allegations are completely false. I did not date underage women. I did not molest anyone.
Roy Moore's denials of sexual impropriety are nothing new, but the allegations continue to haunt his campaign. A Fox News poll shows 39% of likely Alabama voters believe the allegations against Moore, compared to 33% who think they're untrue, with 27% unsure.
It's concerning. I'll vote Republican just because I disagree with the Democratic platform. I'm concerned about Roy Moore and the things that he's accused of.
I'm actually still undecided. I'm probably leaning to vote for Roy Moore, but I'm really concerned about the allegations as well.
It's my first time voting, so I feel like there's a lot of pressure.
When broken down by gender, women favor Jones in the Fox News poll by 20 points.
Get out and vote for Roy Moore. His vote is our Republican Senate, and it's needed. We need Roy to help us with the Republican Senate.
The Moore campaign has sent out a robocall recorded by President Trump. Alabama's senior senator, Richard Shelby, says he agrees with the president's desire to keep the Senate seat in GOP hands, but his vote is for a Republican write-in candidate.
I didn't vote for the Democrat or advocate for the Democrat, but I couldn't vote for Roy Moore. The state of Alabama deserves better.
In a series of four tweets responding to this morning's pipe bomb explosion in New York City, Moore vowed to help implement President Trump's travel ban, saying, "This incident underscores the continued threats our nation faces from those who want nothing more than to destroy the freedoms we enjoy."
Sandy Rios with you on this morning. You certainly heard me talk about the election or the defeat of Judge Roy Moore in 2017. I referred to it many times, and we're going to revisit it this morning because don't you wonder what happened? I have said several times that I believe that Judge Roy Moore was Kavanaugh'd. You know what that means now, don't you? And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. But before I do that, I want to kind of set the stage for what that was all about, the background on that, at least some of it, what we can know. The seat in Alabama, the Senate seat, became available when Jeff Sessions was nominated to be Attorney General for Donald Trump. And so Jeff Sessions resigns his Senate seat, and Roy Moore throws his hat in the ring, and he's the heir apparent because the people of Alabama loved Roy Moore. Well, let me tell you that the people in D.C. don't love Roy Moore, and that would include Mitch McConnell and others of the leadership. They feared Roy Moore because he was known as someone who really stuck to his principles, who could not be manipulated, who actually really believed what he believed, whether it came to marriage. He took a real hit over his principled stand on marriage between a man and a woman in Alabama, and I'll explain that in just a second. And before that, in the early 2000s, he stood in the Alabama Supreme Court and defended a statue or a plaque that had been set up for the Ten Commandments. You know, you remember that. He was called the Ten Commandments judge. Let me go back on this just a little bit. But on this particular resignation of Jeff Sessions from the Senate, the establishment wanted Luther Strange. Luther was much more connected. He was much more amenable to what the establishment wanted. And so all the powers that be from Washington threw their support behind him. But Roy Moore prevailed in that special primary and then a special election, of course, between the Democratic nominee and the Republican was set up. Doug Jones was the Democratic nominee. And Judge Roy Moore was the favorite because he had been the former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. He had become famous over that Ten Commandments monument. I remember it well. I remember going to Montgomery, Alabama, and speaking on the steps of the Supreme Court in defense of Roy Moore and the Ten Commandments. But he actually ended up losing his position in the Supreme Court when some of the justices, not all of them, turned against him. The Attorney General at the time turned against him. And so he was ousted from the Supreme Court. And then later, he was actually reelected to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court by an incredible amount of people, a percentage, I think it was something like 80%, maybe even higher, of the people of Alabama, because they knew and loved him. They trusted him. He was known for his character and his unflinching commitment to truth. He wrote books. He traveled. He quoted scripture. He quoted the Founding Fathers by heart. He was a graduate of West Point. And so he was reelected as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And then the next thing that happened was a gay marriage was legalized in the United States Supreme Court. And Judge Moore said that the Alabama, by the Constitution, the Alabama statute or the ban passed by the people of Alabama was superior, had higher standing than the federal decision. And of course, that got him in trouble. They kicked him out. They also removed his pension and punished him severely. And so that's the position he was in when he threw his hat into the ring to be elected as senator in Alabama. And he was ahead by 10 or 11 points as the special election approached until November the 9th of 2017, when the Washington Post published a piece claiming that Judge Moore had been inappropriate sexually when he was 32 to a 14-year-old girl who was sitting in a courtroom, how he took her back to his house and no sexual touching over underwear, but no sexual activity. That was the allegation. And then in the Post article, they name other women who said they had dated him or he had asked them out when they were 18 or 17. And he was 30 or 32, whatever particular timeline it was. None of them claimed he had made sexual passes at them. They all said if they dated him, he kissed them. Their mothers loved him. And that was basically the Washington Post story, but the first part of it was very damning. And so the media went into a frenzy, and it sounded something like this, clip two.
Even just the allegation itself, it's not just one person, it's multiple people. So the whole cloud, the whole stench around this guy, I don't see how he can represent Alabama in the U.S. Senate.
Roy Moore, who has lived his entire public life as the holiest man in American politics, stands accused tonight of a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison. And he is still a candidate to serve time in the United States Senate.
A 32-year-old man pursuing a 14-year-old girl is disgusting. That is something we should all agree on. This should transcend politics.
Well, look, the timing of these allegations 1 month before the election makes them highly suspect. I mean, let me get this straight. These acts allegedly took place in 1979, and her first disclosure is 38 years later.
The depths and depravity of conservative media outlets that defend someone like Roy Moore, who is now known to be a pedophile, unless you don't believe the women.
So that's how it went down. It spread like a wildfire. And soon Judge Moore was not just, he didn't just like younger women. He was a pedophile. He married a younger woman. I think she's 14 years younger. And so that and that, they cast aspersions on that. And don't you see, it's an epidemic. And so they kept finding women who would speak up. Well, it's Sean Hannity, who had defended Judge Moore, and the president, President Trump, who had endorsed him, began to ask questions, as they would, based on an article like this. So Sean Hannity had Judge Moore on his program, and this is at least in part the exchange. Let's listen.
These allegations are completely false and misleading. But more than that, it hurts me personally because, you know, I'm a father. I have one daughter. I have five granddaughters, and I have a special concern for protection of young ladies. This is really hard to get on radio and explain this, and as these allegations are just completely false.
What do you make specifically? Let's start with what they talked about, that you had struck up a conversation with this young woman who was 14, Lee Kaufman, and her mother says that you offered to watch the girl while the mother went inside for a custody hearing, which they confirmed it actually happened at that time. What is your, do you know Ms. Korfman? Do you know the mother?
I don't know Ms. Korfman from anybody. I've never talked to her, never had any contact with her. Allegations of sexual misconduct with her are completely false. I believe they're politically motivated. I believe they're brought only to stop a very successful campaign, and that's what they're doing.
All right, so that was the interaction with Sean Hannity. And then, of course, another death blow, but it was not the last one. This is when Gloria Aldred pulled out Bev Nelson, and this is what she said.
I thought he would get on the highway, but instead he drove to the back of the restaurant. I was not immediately alarmed, as there was an exit from the back of the restaurant to the street, and he could drive there to my house without getting on the highway. However, instead of driving to the street, he stopped the car. He stopped the car and he parked his car in between the dumpster and the back of the restaurant, where there were no lights. The area was dark and it was deserted. I was alarmed and I immediately asked him what he was doing. Instead of answering my questions, Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me and putting his hands on my breast.
This is absolutely false. I never did what she said I did. I don't even know the woman. I don't know anything about her. I don't even know where the restaurant is or was.
That was Beverly Nelson and her tearful accusation and Judge Moore responding. And you may recall, Bev Nelson claimed she was a waitress in this restaurant. We learned later that the restaurant had no parking lot in the back. The parking lot was on the side. It wasn't configured in any way the way she described it. A waitress who had worked there for years never remembered a Bev Nelson working there. Gloria Aldred also showed a picture of Bev Nelson's yearbook and showed that Judge Roy Moore had signed her yearbook. This pedophile had signed this young girl's yearbook. That's the inference. How dare he do that? And then we find out that the signature that was taken, that was shown in that yearbook, was actually lifted from a legal document on a, I think it was a divorce proceeding of someone related to Bev Nelson. It looked like it had been then transposed to this yearbook page, but it was on that so-called evidence that things began to pile up until it became a freight train that Judge Roy Moore could not sustain. Everyone pulled away from him. And when the election came 30 days later, Doug Jones was the victor. Well, what happened there? Is Judge Roy Moore a pedophile? We just haven't known it. The people of Alabama who knew him in his public service for decades, they were wrong about him because he had a private secret, right? All of these women. Well, let's talk about that and what might have happened. And I've asked Duncan Lindsay to join me this morning. Duncan lives in Alabama. He's a videographer, also a blogger. His blog is called Dear Stand Hill, dearstandhill.com. He's from Troy, Alabama, and he was there watching all of this and watching that campaign, and I've asked him to talk to us about what he saw firsthand. Duncan, thanks for joining me this morning. Hey, Duncan, did you support Judge Moore before all of this? Were you a supporter of his?
Yes, before the allegations and before the, yes.
Yes, okay. All right, well, we want to talk about that, and I want to talk to you about what it was like on the ground there as you watched these things unfold, because you could describe it much better than I can, and we'll do that. Again, Duncan Lindsay, my guest, and he's from Alabama, and wait till you hear what he has to say. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, thank you all for being here tonight. Thank all the people in Gallant that have come at this late hour and for being here. I want to address what's been brought out on television today by Gloria Allred and a client that she has about things I allegedly did. I want to make it perfectly clear. The people of Alabama know me. They know my character. They know what I've stood for in the political world for over 40 years. And I can tell you without hesitation, this is absolutely false. I never did what she said I did. I don't even know the woman. I don't know anything about her. I don't even know where the restaurant is or was. And if you look at this situation, you'll see that because I'm 11 points ahead, or 10 or 11 points ahead, this race being just 28 days off, that this is a political maneuver and has nothing to do with reality. It's all about politics. I'd like to let my wife make a few statements.
I've been married to this man for 32 years. We've been together for 33 altogether. He has never one time lifted a finger to me. He is the most gentle, most kind man that I have ever known in my life. He's godly. He's loving, and everybody in this community knows it. These are our church members. These are our family. These are our friends. These are people that know him just like I do. These things are false, and it's ugly. It's the ugliest politics that I've ever been in my life.
That was Judge Moore and then his wife, Kayla. And, of course, we know what happened. Judge Moore was defeated by Doug Jones. Again, Duncan Lindsay's joining me this morning. He is a citizen of Alabama. He followed the race very closely. He is a blogger. His blog is called DearStandHill.com. He is from Toy, Alabama. And Duncan, once again, let me ask you the question. Did you support Roy Moore? Have you supported him in past elections? Did you follow him? Did you have an opinion about him before this these stories broke?
Yeah, I supported Judge Moore, and I supported him in this election, and I made my decision really early on during the primary, just because, you know, I've watched his career, and I've watched him. He's made comeback after comeback, and I've seen how he's been treated just for standing up for what he believes and what a lot of us in Alabama believe as well, by the way. Yeah. And I think that's one of the appealing things about Judge Moore to Alabamians, is that he is standing up for what we believe, and he's taking the arrows and taking the hits from the outside or outside forces that are against it, and he's coming back, and he keeps coming back. He's not,
Duncan,
because, you know, so many people on the right just cower, and they go get to a corner, and they say, I'm out of this, and we have people now that are willing to stand up and do something, and people need to support it. But yes,
Duncan,
I do support it.
Can you kind of go back in time? You followed it so carefully. Sometimes it's hard to do, but can you go back in time and kind of describe how you felt and how you saw things unfold after that Washington Post story, which was published, November the 9th of 2017? That's like something like 30 days before the final election. Describe what you saw happening.
Okay, you've got to put it in the context in order to understand why it's so important, that November 9th article. This was, Judge Moore had just come off a very, very tough runoff, primary and runoff, against Luther Strange. Luther Strange will probably be remembered as the most well-funded U.S. Senate candidate Alabama's ever seen. In what would be, this was pretty much an open ticket. He was kind of running as an incumbent because he'd been appointed. We could spend an hour talking about how we got to that point of the runoff, but we'll just start our discussion today with what happened from the runoff until the election, which is a lot. But everything, when I saw that article come out on November 9th, my first reaction was, and you mean to tell me they spent tens of millions of dollars running against Judge Moore, Mitch McConnell, and they can't come up with this? So I immediately, just my suspicion went up. I said, and I knew exactly what was happening. And
so you're saying, Duncan, you're saying if they had all that money to spend, why didn't they find this? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And okay. And also not to mention the money that they had to spend in this particular election. But this isn't the first time that Judge Moore's run for office in Alabama.
Well, of course.
In a statewide election.
Yeah.
So that to me made me a doubter of it.
Yeah. But then as the days unfolded, what did you see? Like family, friends, talk in Alabama, radio in Alabama, churches, you know, what were people saying? And how did you see the thing unfold?
That was what was so interesting about it. And now that I look back and I know what was happening, it starts to make more sense. On social media, when you would come out and you would say, if there was, let's say there was a Facebook post and there's memes everywhere, you know, everybody's posting and they're, you know, Judge Moore is a, you know, is a creep, is a, whatever you call it. I don't know the word. I'm going to call it creep because I don't know. But, you know, he's some sort of sexual creep. Well, if you would come out and you'd say, hold on a minute, this doesn't make sense, the timing of this, and, you know, this stuff happened, they're saying this happened all these decades ago and all this. They not only would come out and say, you're wrong, they would also come out, this was on social media, the people that were putting these things out there, they would come out and they would say, you know what, you must be a creep too. If you support this guy, you must be a creep. And so it made a lot of people, I believe, it made a lot of people say, wait a minute, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be called this. I don't want to be associated with this. It was a very effective attack.
Yeah. So then let's fast forward, because I have mentioned this on my show, but I haven't sat with it like I really want to, Duncan, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. On December 19th then of this year, fast forward a year, the New York Times broke a story in which they described what was known as Project Birmingham. So I'm going to let you tell people what at least the opening paragraph, what was Project Birmingham, and what did the New York Times report?
Project Birmingham was a coordinated disinformation campaign that occurred in Alabama during the special election, and it occurred from the time right up to the point where it was going to be a race between Judge Moore and Doug Jones. It didn't happen during the primary when it was the Republicans duking it out. It waited to start when they could elect the Democrat. The goal of them was to elect Doug Jones, and it was funded by Silicon Valley people. Under Reid Hoffman's come out. He's the co-founder of LinkedIn. Reid Hoffman, that is. And he's come out.
He said he was embarrassed, actually, that they did what they did. He claims.
He said that he had donated $100,000 or financed $100,000 of it. You know, there's some other players in it, and One American News has reported that Fusion GPS has been involved in this. A company called New Knowledge that's run by a guy named Jonathan Morgan. Another group called the Democracy Integrity Project, which is run by a guy named Daniel Jones. Well, Daniel Jones is a former staffer for Senator Dianne Feinstein out of California, which all we remember Dianne Feinstein, she's the one that held the letter from Blasey Ford against Kavanaugh until the last minute.
So, yep. Good
it's
point.
It's just the usual Democratic players that you would see come up when you talk about the Russian collusion thing with Trump or any, you know, Clinton operation. These are just the usual Democrats that descended on Alabama to change this election and try to turn the state blue.
But Duncan, one thing we should make clear, they didn't just come after the Luther Strange Roy Moore runoff. They were there working on this 2 or 3 months before that. They just didn't become public with their plan until
that
30-day period, right? So they were there doing all kinds of things. And so the reason we know at least part of this is because what was called the Project Birmingham debrief was published in part by the New York Times. They published 6 pages of it. 6 pages are still missing. But I tell you, the 6 pages they published are incriminating enough. Why don't you start in? Just tell people what they did.
Okay. First of all, you're correct. There are 6 pages published of a 12-page document from what's called the after-action report, which happened in December, I want to say December 15th of 17, which is a few days after the December 12th election. There's also documents that have been reported from a September meeting as well, where they met and they planned what they were going to do. So they had a meeting where they planned it in September of 17. Then they met after the election and they talked, and they debriefed and talked about what went well and what didn't go well. So there were two meetings, and we know that the Washington Post has reported of at least seeing these documents. They've seen the documents well enough to report about the documents and the meetings. I don't know if they actually personally have the documents or not. That would be great if they could turn them over or let us see them. But we do know that there are documents, and documents exist from both meetings. And yes, 6 of those pages of the documents from the after action meeting are basically what we know about Project Birmingham.
Hey, Duncan, let me do this. Let me read the executive summary.
Okay.
There's plenty of points for us to talk about. Yeah, let me read it. This is from the leaked report. You know, you wonder. We'll talk about purpose of this leak. But the executive summary of this Birmingham project says this. In September through December of 2017, blank ran a digital messaging operation to influence the outcome of the Alabama Senate race. In August 2017, we developed a strategy of micro-targeting specific Alabama districts to radicalize Democrats. 2, to suppress unpersuadable Republicans. We call them the hard R's. And 3, to faction or separate moderate Republicans by advocating for write-in candidates. Our goal was to move 50,000 votes. We targeted 650,000 like Alabama voters with a combination of persona accounts, astroturfing, automated social media amplification, and targeted advertising. Using these tools, we ran an aggressive campaign that contributed historically high turnout in the specific Democratic districts. We targeted a 5% drop in voter turnout compared to 2016 in congressional races in hard R districts and drove write-in votes to a number of candidates, including one who unwittingly asked one of our conservative Facebook pages to endorse his candidacy. We obliged. There were 22,619 write-in votes, which combined with a 30-something Democratic turnout and a corresponding drop in hard R turnout moved enough votes to give Doug Jones a victory. And then they go on to brag about how little they spent, how cheap it was, and they go into much more detail. So, Duncan, you'd mentioned already the social media things. I'm sure you must be on social media a lot, and you were already seeing some of this stuff. So kind of describe to us in more detail what you think they did based on what they've written here.
Well, they created Facebook pages, and what they did with these Facebook pages, it would be some sort of conservative page, and it would attract conservative-minded people, which there are many of us in Alabama. And what they did is they established a trust relationship with the people of Alabama. They would put out, you know, pro-conservative, positive conservative posts on their page. So they developed an audience, and they developed an audience that trusted them, a loyal audience. And then when it was time, they would put out slightly negative or negative posts against Moore. And because of the trust relationship they had built up, people were more prone to believe those posts. Rather than just coming out, if it was just a left-wing page, and nobody would have paid attention to it.
Well, and that ties into what they just said here, that they then identified a write-in candidate. What they were trying to do was divide conservatives. Hey, this guy's a conservative, but he doesn't have all that icky stuff that Judge Moore has, and you should support him and write his name in. That's how that went down. And they managed to peel away, 22,619 votes. That's a big chunk in an Alabama race, isn't it?
And that's another misunderstanding now. Nobody's saying this. Everybody's saying that they moved 22,000 votes. That's the margin of the write-in, and that's about the margin of victory for Doug Jones. But I want to throw a number out here to you. In the primary, the Democrats voted 2 times in this election. They voted in the primary, they didn't have a runoff, and then they voted in the general. One thing you have to know about Alabama, especially prior to the special election of 2017, is that a Democratic organization in Alabama was in complete disarray, and people in the know, experts that I will talk to, basically said there was no Democratic organization in Alabama. They couldn't get anything done. They couldn't assemble anything. Let me read to you the number of votes that showed up in the August 15th primary. Now, and this is another interesting thing. You just read that they targeted 650,000 likely Alabama voters.
Well, oh, you know what, Duncan, I want to say, I got to stop you because the music's playing, and I want to make sure people hear what you're going to say. Duncan Lindsay is my guest, and by the way, you can read what Duncan has to say about lots of things at DearStandHill.com, DearStandHill.com. He's a blogger out of Alabama and was watching this race very carefully all along as I was trying to watch it from my vantage point, but Duncan, it's his state, and he has a lot more to share. So also, when he returns and when we return, I want to talk to Duncan about, did this Project Birmingham have anything to do with these allegations against Judge Moore? We're going to kind of talk about that and try to discern from what we can know what might have happened on that count. This is Sandy Rios, and I'll be right back right after this.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. We are working with India Partners to help little kids and boys and girls as young as 8 who are being trafficked in the red light areas of Mumbai. We've been telling you about this all week. Every day, we have a goal of providing 1,000 days of safety. That's what I think that's the best way to term it, days of safety. That's where the kids can be taken to a safe house, they can be fed, they can get their medical needs met, and they also then are educated, and then they're taught about Jesus, that there is a God who cares and loves for them, who has a more excellent way for their lives. And so that's what, you know, the whole full spectrum of what India Partners does, and that's why we work with them. It's only $7 a day, $7.08 to be exact, for one day of safety for one child. Would you help us? We're getting close to the end of our campaign, and we need your help to provide as many days of safety for these little ones as possible. The phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go to AFR.net, AFR.net, and make your most generous donation. We've been talking about Judge Roy Moore and what happened to him about a year plus ago when suddenly, after all of these years of being known as a man of impeccable character and integrity, suddenly he's accused of all these assaults against women, young women primarily. He's labeled a pedophile. It's really shocking. I'll give you an idea of just how bad it got. This is, if you watched Fox News, this is what you heard.
We were right about it from the very beginning. The guy looks like a holy roller hypocrite. This isn't just a he said, she said when it involves minors, and now it's risen to the level of alleged sexual assault. We're hearing reports about him signing high school girls' yearbooks when he's in his 30s. He allegedly was banned from malls because he was trying to pick up teenagers. It just gets more and more gory and disgusting, and I feel terrible for the victims if it's true, which it looks like. These are very credible allegations, as the House Speaker said.
Not really, Jesse. They weren't credible at all. The yearbook was a complete fabrication, and so were the tears of Gloria Aldred's client. And so, you know, this is what you heard on Fox, plus Fox would show, you know, this ridiculous photo of Judge Moore, you know, with his gun at some rally and riding his horse with his wife, making him look, on purpose, I'm telling you, like a fool. And it worked. It had its effect. And, of course, Jesse talks, you know, he's a holy roller, so he deserves this, right? The obvious prejudice against people of faith, people with values, is just stunning to me. But we all know about that. My guest is Duncan Lindsay, and again, his blog is called DearStandHill.com. He's from Alabama. We're discussing what happened in that race with Judge Moore, and I said before the break that this Birmingham project, which targeted Judge Moore and really arguably caused his defeat to Doug Jones, boasted about the numbers, that they were able to get nearly 23,000 write-in votes for this candidate through their fake Facebook page, building up trust with people by presenting themselves as conservatives and then talking about how horrible Judge Moore was and here was an alternative. And Duncan, you were just getting ready to tell us more about the numbers. So pick up on that if you would.
Yes, and I'll be brief with it. The numbers are, everybody's talking about the 22,000 that put Doug Jones over the top, and they're saying, okay, that was the write-in vote, which, yes, that is a great argument for that. And then Project Birmingham, what we know about it, they say that they intended to move 50,000 votes. Well, they also, it said they targeted 650,000 Alabama voters. Well, I was curious, where did they get that number, 650,000? And so I got to looking back at the primary on August 15th. The total number of votes, Republican and Democrat, in the primary in August 15th, on August 15th of 2017, was 588,000. Okay? So you start looking at that number and you break it down, that's 423,000 Republicans. And on 165,000 Democrats, what I was saying earlier before the break, the Democrats were not organized in Alabama. There was Doug Jones was one of many Democratic candidates, and they only had 165,000 total votes statewide on August 15th. You fast forward that to December 12th in the general, look at these numbers. The Democrats went from 165,000 votes to 671,000 votes. That is a 400% increase in turnout. That means everybody that voted in the primary Democrat showed back up to vote for Doug Jones, and they took three people in the car with them. That's the mathematical equivalent of that. Okay? You can't tell me, you'll never convince me, that the Alabama Democratic Party had that kind of capability in the fall of 2017.
Well, also, the Birmingham Project is bragging about how they were able to depress the hard R's, the people that were strong supporters, and I forgot the percentage here, but they succeeded in doing that. What do you know what that is right offhand? How, at least by 5%.
You know, some of the stuff's redacted in the images that we have of the reports, and I would love to see the unredacted stuff. But
yeah, the six pages that we can't see. Yeah, well,
yeah,
okay, all right, it says, and according to a New York Times exit poll analysis, turnout in hard R districts was down 5%. I don't know how many votes that is, but so they managed to, in other words, what they did was they targeted people that were supporters of Moore, and they placed enough doubt that, as you said earlier, if you supported Judge Moore, then somehow you were, like, tainted. What's wrong with you? You know, are you in favor of, you know, coming after young girls? And so people just didn't know what to do with it, and they stayed home. And the Birmingham Project was roundly successful. Now, I want to this is the next thing that I have hinted at this because I believe it's true, but I don't know, that the Birmingham Project was responsible, at least in part, for this Washington Post article. I don't see how it could not be, how they could not have been cooperating with the – because this is the way it is, Duncan, in D.C., heavens, if I know one thing, I know D.C. But I want to know your thoughts about that. Are there any dots directly connecting them to the Washington Post in this story?
There are plenty of dots. Now, being a blogger, I don't have the resources to connect it. If somebody at the Washington Post would actually work and do some journalism, this would dwarf Watergate. They would have journalism schools named after them, buildings named after them. Somebody would go to work with the stuff that they say that they have with these documents. But here's what I do know, okay? If you go back and you look at the November 9th article, if you scroll down and you look, it says, and I'm going to read it, neither Korfman nor any other of the other women sought out the Post. While reporting a story in Alabama about supporters of Moore's Senate campaign, a Post reporter heard that Moore allegedly had sought relationships with teenage girls. How did they hear that, by the way? I hadn't noticed. How did they know to approach the Post? Were they driving a car with a pizza sign on top that said Post? I mean, how did they know? But anyway, but that's a different topic on a different day. All were looking to speak, and it says that they were there. I'm just going to paraphrase here. They were there for 3 weeks to convince these girls to come forward, or these women to come forward.
Meaning the Washington Post was there for three weeks.
Washington Post was in Alabama for 3 weeks. Convincing, because they didn't want to come forward at first, so it took them 3 weeks. Well, this story published on the 9th of November, That would put them in Alabama around the middle of October. If you go look at the timeline on what we know about Project Birmingham, you can see one of the things that they were doing in October was experimenting with tactics to push narratives from one social platform to another and ultimately into the press. Now, we don't have the luxury of going back to look at the social media pages on the platforms, Twitter and Facebook, because they took the pages down. So we can't go back and verify exactly what they were pushing. My question is, were there posts on Facebook and Twitter on these pages that they had established regarding sexual allegations against Moore that they may have picked up on? I don't know, because they turned the pages off. They're gone. Mm-hmm. But we do know that Fusion GPS was part of this project. Fusion GPS is a opposition research company. That's what they do. They're their best you can get at opposition research. And they were working in Alabama in October when this came out.
Well, and just for people that on the outside chance, people might not know, because people that listen to me know this, but Fusion GPS were the producers of the Trump, the Russian dossier, that tabloid piece of trash that was completely unverified and used, you know, to try to undermine the president. It's still being used for that purpose. So that was Fusion GPS. So they were in Alabama doing this. You know, as I reviewed this article, Duncan, the original one that came out November the 9th, I read it again. It's really struck me. Lee Korfman is the only only allegation in here of anything sexual. The other girls said, you know, he took me out and I was 18. My mother thought he'd be a great catch. He kissed me a couple of times. Really, that's as horrible as it gets. Oh, one said that he gave her Matus rose wine. They had that when they were eating in the pizza parlor, and her mother would not have liked it. I mean, that's as damning as the rest of it is. So they lead with this Lee Korfman. I don't know.
The Korfman story didn't work. If you look at the polling, he was up by 11. After that Lee Korfman story came out, he was up still by about 5 or 6. So what you can tell, and see, I knew this at the time. I just didn't know who was doing it. But I knew, I said, somebody is putting these things out there, and it's as if they're taking the temperature. They're seeing the poll numbers. Oh, well, he didn't go down as far as he wanted to. Roll out the next allegation. Boom, mm-hmm. Here comes the next allegation. Okay, what's the poll numbers? Okay, he's down. Okay, they're tied. Boom, roll out the next allegation. And you can go back and you can look at the polling and you can look at the stories and the frequency in which they're released. And they did that for two reasons, I think. I think they did that because they wanted to, first of all, get the polling down to where Doug Jones was either tied or ahead in the polling. And they also did that because they knew that if this was the only allegation that would have come out on November 9th, the Moore campaign could have reacted to it because they had almost a month. But because they did it in such a large number and in the frequency that they did it, they spent their time and they couldn't defend against all of them. So
yeah,
it made it harder for that. So
yes,
there were more.
And if people don't believe this, Duncan, if people are skeptical about what we're saying, I would just, again, point them to the Kavanaugh hearing. People watched that. They saw what happened. An allegation came out. It was all, you know, pushed by the media, pushed by Dianne Feinstein. And then suddenly all of these women in Kentucky, he raped me in the back of the car. He did this. And so you had all these women were happy to cooperate with that, to do damage, to pile on. And except that somebody cared about Kavanaugh. Let me just say that anybody that would have defended Judge Moore, the Republicans, they would not defend him. They were happy to see him crash and burn. They wished he had crashed and burned when he was running against Luther Strange. So no one helped him. And I would say, okay, so this report, we're going to run out of time here. This report from Project Birmingham, by the way, we'll put this on our Facebook page so that you can read it. We'll put a legible version in that we have transcribed because the original is a little hard to read. How do you think, you commented earlier, Duncan, that you think it's not being reported the right way. How is it being positioned from your perspective?
Okay, you can see, it's almost curious that they would even come out and report it, because I think a lot of the media that are reporting this seem to have gone along with it. I didn't even get a chance to talk about how they worded with the whole Doug Jones and associating with him prosecuting the KKK. They changed the way they were introducing him in their stories after the the runoff. But you can go back and look on my blog. I have a link to that as well. You can do a Google search and not.
So in other words, what you're trying to say is they emphasized that part of Doug Jones' resume, embellished and enhanced it, and then went after black voters to try to get them.
This is provable. Yeah. This is provable on Google because you can search Doug Jones KKK. Every story is going to come up after September 27th, the day after the runoff that locked in Roy Moore. If you just search for Doug Jones wins primary, you're going to see stories when he won the primary on August 15th, and he's always referred to as Doug Jones, the former U.S. attorney known for prosecuting 16th Street.
Duncan, we have 60 seconds. Let me just ask you, has anybody in Alabama really covering this?
No. I mean, no. I think I've started the hashtag Project Birmingham on Twitter, to be honest with you.
Is the Attorney General looking into this, as he promised?
I know he's looking into it. I haven't heard any reports as far as what's going on in the investigation. That's my next thing I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, well, so maybe people need to call their Attorney General, those of you in Alabama, and hold his feet to the fire. This needs to be investigated. This is a tragedy. The destruction of a man's life, and it really affects all of us in this country. It affected the President of the United States, who then was embarrassed that he supported Judge Moore, not understanding what had happened. It really is such a big lie and a travesty. And thank you for following so faithfully Duncan Lindsay, DeerStandHill.com. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.